Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
This is the second episode in a two-part series. Please listen to part one before continuing with this episode. This series contains discussion of violence and sexual violence against children, crime scenes, and sexual assault. Listener discretion is advised. This is The Fall Line. When we last left off, you'd heard Georgia Moses' story, the way her sister Angel felt it should have been told all along. Next, we move into what is being done now to find justice for Georgia, to solve her case. The push for justice begins with Angel herself. Her background as a journalist in the U.S. Army gave her a variety of skills that aid this work. She also has training in social media and other digital communications. So she's been able to employ effective hashtags, images, videos, and all sorts of multimedia in support of hashtag justice for Georgia Lee Moses. But to get where Angel is now, in February of 2021, we need to start a little earlier. Before Angel launched and organized an effort to publicize and resolve Georgia's case, Georgia's unsolved murder never left Angel. That goes without saying. But it was within the past few years that a few events coalesced and brought her to where she is now, an organized advocate for her sister and her sister's case. It also brought her to others who wanted to help, like her friend Maria. In our January 2021 interview, Angel told Brooke about a strange experience she had, one of the things that set everything in motion.
So a part of what really made me start seeking, I was going through this, I guess, growth process, and there was this book from my childhood. It had pictures of me, a few pictures, and it had a few pictures of my sister. And those are like the only physical pictures that I've had of my life in California. And so it's always been near and dear to me. Well, during this time, I could not find the book. Like, I didn't know if I threw it away, you know, because sometimes I just move stuff around, but I couldn't find it. And at that very instant, you know, because I was just trying to look at my sister, I couldn't find it. And so I literally was having a nervous breakdown. Like, I felt myself going crazier and crazier by the second. And so I'm like going around the house, going in the garage, checking the trash can, like checking the same areas over and over and over and over and over. And the Lord stopped me and he was just like, give it to me. And like, I knew what he was saying, but I was just like, so hurt in that instance. And he was like, give it to me. And so I said, like, calm down. And I said, you know what, Lord, I have faith that you will get justice for my sister. And like 2 weeks later, our printer needed ink. And so I went to go get the ink container and the book was in there. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know how it got in the ink container, but the printer actually did not need ink. It just needed to be realigned. Fast forward to, I think, October. I was just checking different posts because sometimes people share our this post that we do. And somebody had shared our post, but they also had shared another post that had been posted like 6 years ago. And so I felt compelled to like scroll through all the comments because sometimes people might share information that's vital. So there was like hundreds of comments. So I'm scrolling through all the comments, and I see a familiar picture, which was my foster mom who I went to live with. And so I'm like, hey, it's me. And so she's like, hi, how are you doing? I said, it's me, Angel. And she's like, I had an angel. Do you know where she is? And then, so I posted a few pictures from the book and I said, it's me. And so I'm like paralyzed because one, like I found my foster mom who I haven't seen in 23 years. And then two, I couldn't remember that she was the one that created the book. This one book from my childhood that had so many memories that I valued for all these years. And so I was like, I'm Angel. And then I posted some more photos. So she messaged me and she gave me her number. And, you know, she was able to attend the candlelight vigil. And it was a big reunion. But it was like so much peace because the one book that I was about to lose my mind over came from a place of love at a time that I needed it.
It's amazing to me that she was able to provide some safety and consistency for you when everything was so fractured. And then even though you got to move, you know, with your family in Georgia and your mom was there, there was another sort of fracture that cut you off from her. And it just sounds like this last year has been you putting together, back together, a lot of things that have been left broken. You're maybe hoping that this is the final piece that you can get put back together for Georgia.
Correct. So I have two older brothers. My second oldest brother, we were kind of always Facebook friends. But we didn't have like a close relationship. Like he would just kind of tag himself in my pictures, but you know, we didn't really grow up together. My oldest brother, we haven't talked in almost 20 years, maybe 21, 22 years. We reconnected last year. And so it's really been a year of togetherness. And I feel like everything as far as my sister and her case is coming together at the right time because now we're all in this together. You know, if it was 5 years ago, we would have all still been in our own places. But now we're able to grieve and heal and get justice as a family. And that is something that I'm appreciative for. Like even my mom, when I went to the candlelight vigil, she was just like, I want to go to the next one, you know? And I was like, okay, you know, because I don't think she's ever been to the grave either, you know, because we moved. So it's just so much of our life that was like paused at that time. And now we press play and everything is really coming together.
When we first began talking with you, we found out that you are working with some volunteers who wanted to help you with your sister's case. Can you tell us how you met them?
So I actually met a large group of my sister's friends that had started up a private Facebook group. It was called Justice for Georgia Lee Moses, and it was a Facebook group that I stumbled upon when I decided that I was going to bring my fight for justice to the public. And it was really ironic how I stumbled upon it. But the night prior, I had decided that I was going to get in contact with the police department and really just do whatever was necessary to bring justice. The next morning, I woke up and there was an update to my email address, and there was an updated flyer of my sister for the reward of finding the person in the flyer, which was the last person to see her alive and or presumed to see her alive. And so that was kind of confirmation to go forward with contacting the police department. After I got in contact with them, I did a Facebook or a Google search just to see what all was online. And that's where I found the Facebook group. And so I immediately asked to join the group, and I was accepted. And the first post was that same flyer that I had in my email. And so I kind of just did this coming out post where I kind of gave my little journey for the year as to why I decided now to come public and not just kind of do it behind the scenes. And I did the post, and after I did the post and just going through the page, I saw all my sister's friends or a large group of her friends that had been making posts for years. They've made flyers. They've had walks. They've contacted the police department. They've done so much to try and get the justice that my sister deserves. But to no avail, they were pretty much stonewalled throughout the process. So when I came forward, they immediately welcomed me. We shared a lot of memories. They shared memories that they had with my sister. And from there, we just kind of took to the ground running. And some of them, you know, helped me with creating posts. They helped with creating the petition on change.org. They helped with creating the different social media platforms. So they really took a lot of the burden of doing everything, and they took that on, and they did an excellent job in the process.
When you first saw that Facebook page, can you talk about any of the feelings that you had when you realized this group was out there?
Initially, I was emotional because there hasn't been a lot of positive outlets that have done anything for my sister. So when I saw the group and I started scrolling through the post and seeing all of the memories that were shared, all the kind things that were shared, basically I saw them remember the same Georgia that I remembered. And that really confirmed that my sister was who I remembered her as. Because over the years, the few articles that were written on her didn't give any truth to the person that she was. And in reading those, I would just get upset and just stop looking up things until I had the urge to do it again, which I would come across the same stories. So to see the group and all of these friends that grew up with her that still remembered her as this beautiful person that was so positive, so uplifting, so motivating, you know, so friendly, it just solidified the fact that I was on the right path.
Once you got that validation and you saw that you guys could come together, you started Justice for Georgia Lee Moses. Can you tell us the goals of that project?
We're doing what the police are supposed to be doing. In coming together, it was really just us trying to get the justice that was necessary. And what made it, I guess, bigger was the fact that so many people cared so much that we just happened to come together to do the same thing, which was a beautiful thing because initially I really thought that I would be treading this by myself. You know, I knew the goal that I had in mind. And I knew the time and energy that I was willing to invest. So to have so many people come together and care the same way that I cared, it really just, it's an indescribable feeling of love, you know, because the only narrative that's been pushed for the past 23 years is that nobody cared. And that's not the truth. So many people cared, but the right people didn't care. You know, we can care all day, but if the police department don't care enough to process evidence, to do certain investigations to follow up on certain leads, then at the end of the day, no justice will be found. You know, we can't go knock on people's doors to say, hey, we need to talk to you. That's the police department's job. So there are so many people that have cared and continuously cared over the years. It's just the wrong people were in the fight. Not even the wrong people. I'm not going to say that. The right people didn't join in on the fight.
At this point, you have quite a few, you know, like Instagram and a website and a Twitter. Are you the one who decided, let's go to these different social media platforms?
The first public thing out was the Facebook group, which is a private group. I was doing my own thing, like by myself. But when I saw the group and so many of her friends reached out and they were more than helpful and, you know, lending whatever help that they could give, they were like, okay, you know, let's start with the social media sites. And we all kind of came to it at the same time. It seems like I was the missing piece. And I kind of knew that before I came public, which was kind of why I didn't want to come public. I actually found an email that I sent to a crime group back in March asking for their help. And one of the things that I put in there was that I did not want to be publicized. And the reason being because every article that I did read mentioned the little sister. And so I just had a gut feeling that whenever, you know, traction would take place, that everybody would be looking for the little sister, which ironically, when I joined the group, everyone was like, oh my gosh, we've been looking for you. You know, so many people remember me and have memories of me that I don't recall those same memories because a lot of my childhood was just revolving around me and my sister. So, but they felt like, you know, we needed to start these different social media platforms. So, you know, a few of them created the Facebook page, the Instagram page, and the Twitter. I decided to create the website myself because I felt like there weren't any accurate stories of my sister, and I wanted her to be recalled in the love and the light that she was. And so I was trying to figure out how I could have a story done on her where it wouldn't be picked apart, where, you know, certain details wouldn't be added. And so I felt the only place to put that would be my own website, which is why I created the website, where I could write whatever story I wanted to, share whatever memory, and it'd be factual. For me, I'm really not big into social media. I know the power of social media. I did social media work when I was in the military. I was public affairs. So in addition to writing, I actually ran our unit's Facebook page. So I know the power of social media, but because I'm a private person, I don't like being on social media. So it was kind of a growth process to put how I felt aside for the sake of sharing my sister's story. And I found that for me, Twitter was the biggest platform as far as reaching any and everybody. So what I would do was just start trolling people. You know, if there was a story that was posted about something, I would throw my sister's information on there and, you know, people would share it. I would troll the news entities and just basically try and put my sister's face any and everywhere. And then once I met Maria, she really was helpful with Instagram, and she actually has a background in marketing as well. So she was able to really navigate social media on Instagram, where we were able to reach a certain audience and a larger audience and even get in contact with you guys. So I know, especially it's really, I don't want to say crazy, but it's more of a miracle how things are taking shape, because 2020 was like the year of social media with the pandemic. So everybody kind of took to social media to just live their lives. And to see how social media has played such a large role in bridging the gap between 1997 and today is really beautiful, because without social media, I probably wouldn't have met the group of friends that I did meet, you know, that was the catalyst to us meeting each other. So, you know, I definitely believe social media is like a two-edged sword. And fortunately for me and my sister, it was able to really unite, unite a lot of us.
Do you feel like Petaluma law enforcement is taking notice of that?
I do feel like with the surge in social media presence, the police department are taking notice, because when I called them in May, they didn't get back to me. They were supposed to get back to me on certain details and information. And in August, I submitted the petition to them, in addition to a slew of other entities, to include the district attorney, the governor of California, and like 20 different people. But it wasn't until September that I actually got a phone call from the current detective on the case to say that he was just assigned the case, but he had yet to look over it. Now, a few months later, he has still yet to look over all of the details. And just in our little own investigating, we've submitted more details that we felt would be useful to the case. So with the surge in social media, I feel like it's definitely put enough pressure on where somebody has gotten assigned to the case, but it hasn't put enough pressure to where they're actually taking a priority in her case.
Do you know if the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office has a devoted cold case unit?
They have a cold case school that violent crimes presents cases to, but there's not, as far as I know, and I could be completely wrong on this, as far as we know, there's not a dedicated cold case unit.
According to their website, cold cases are assigned to the Sonoma County Violent Crimes Investigation Unit, which, quote, investigates all felonies against persons. There's no mention of a dedicated cold case squad. Brooke also asked Angel about a change.org petition that was begun last year. It had an original goal of 7,000 signatures, and it reached nearly 10,000 before it was closed. The petition's title is Justice for Georgia Lee Moses. The petition's author, Victoria, wrote, quote, "We need your help to have her murder properly investigated, have new interviews conducted, and to push to have DNA testing done to locate a possible suspect. Her family deserves justice, and Georgia deserves justice. Please sign this petition and help a family get closure after so many years." Signatures came in quickly, with many people expressing love for Georgia. An update reported that the petition was being sent to the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, and also directed future visitors to the Justice for Georgia Lee Moses GoFundMe page.
One of her friends suggested that we do a petition where we basically let the county know that there's a large group of people that are looking for the same thing, which is them to properly investigate the case. The last time I checked, which was last month, there was over 8,000 signatures. I submitted the petition, and I followed up with my own addition to the email, basically just saying that, you know, it's been 23 years, and just from my own knowledge of things that were publicized, details that, you know, I felt like should have been followed up on, that they have not done a thorough job investigating, and that I'm here to ensure that that changes. And a few entities responded back. I know the assistant district attorney sent a letter back in response to that, and a few other departments. But basically, they just told me that the responsible investigative party was the Sonoma County Sheriff's Department. But I included the other entities to help put pressure on them, which I guess at the time it worked. But like I said, the detective here in 2020, as of 2 days ago, sent an email saying that he has yet to look over all the details of the original case files, and that with the current load of active cases, those take priority. So,
We asked Angel how it felt to see that kind of warm response from the public, the petition, and the response to her social media posts.
They helped take the burden off, you know, because I've come to find that I'm not the only one that's fighting for justice for their loved one. And to know that we have to fight so hard just to get the proper care is mind-blowing. You know, it's like if we were to go be vigilantes, we would now be the bad guy, you know, but it's okay for me to have to do my own investigation and then you guys take the credit for it. You know, it's been 23 years and in the last 2 to 3 months, me and Maria have uncovered a plethora of details that the police department had no clue about. And so basically we're doing their job, you know, and we both have our own lives. Not to say that this isn't a priority, but if you're paid to solve crimes, then do your job. It's not my job to do your job, you know. And so to have you reach out and say, hey, yeah, we want to do this, it helps take the burden off of fighting this by ourselves. I've only personally done 2 events. But each time there's been more people that have, you know, said I'd never heard of this story. And a lot of people actually from the area that have never heard of the story. And, you know, it's refreshing for me to hear that now that they've heard the story, that they care and they're willing to help in any way that they can. And really, it's just putting the information out there. You know, I'm really not stuck on more people joining the fight. I'm stuck on doing what needs to be done for my sister to get the justice that she deserves. And unfortunately, I've found that me caring, my family caring, her friends caring, that's not enough. It's going to take pretty much the world to care for justice to be served.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere. And no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Angel and Maria know that being noticed isn't enough. They have to really involve their followers to create community. And to do that, they need visual assets that can be used on social media.
Can you tell us about the call that you put out for artists and sort of what you were looking for and what the response has been?
Yeah, so I'm going to let Maria answer that because she actually put that out.
What Angel explained is that growing up, her family was not big picture takers. So we put a call out actually before the call for art. We put a call out for any friends or family that may have images of Georgia, because what we have found is only about 5 images of her. And that was from digging. And 2 of them we found online. They weren't even ones that we had hard copies of. So when we realized that there's only about 5 images that have not been lost to time, we wanted to see what artists, various different people, friends, family, strangers, whomever, what they would be able to present and help us with keeping Georgia's face around. You know, there's so many people who take 1,000 photos even before we all had cell phones that had cameras in it. So you have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of photos to choose from various different
other cases, where with this one, there are so few. So inviting artists in both created an interest by the artist and the artist's network, but it also gave an opportunity for Georgia's beauty to really stand on its own and to be interpreted and to be shared again and again in ways that it hadn't already been because there are so few pictures of her.
The solution that you thought up is so brilliant.
It was really brilliant when she brought it to my attention. You know, she's like, well, let's, you know, call for artists. And you never know what to expect in hindsight because or going forward. But when you see it manifest, it's brilliant, you know. So when we started getting all the people submitting artworks, like I was literally moved to tears because now my sister is being represented properly, you know, like people that never knew my sister are taking the time to create beautiful representations of her. And like you said, it is a community, you know, there was people that just created artwork that wasn't my sister, but they wanted to create something just to say, I'm thinking of you, I'm thinking of your sister. And it's really been a beautiful process, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there was the woman who made the pie.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman who made
people are yeah, cooking.
She's a chef, mm-hmm. and she just said, I have no artistic ability, but I can cook. And she made a beautiful pie for mm-hmm. Georgia. And then actually a good friend of mine made a word art. She makes really beautiful print art. Mm-hmm. And she did a piece that mm-hmm. also has no image on it, but it really reaches out to these various communities that we ourselves are not a part of, but by extension, we are now a part of. You know, mm-hmm. this my friend who made the word art, she's in Idaho. And now all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people in Idaho know George's name and are interested in her story. Mm-hmm. And the girl who made the pie, I think she was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just it's far reaching when you ask people to help us with their creative minds, because people want to express themselves, and being able to express themselves in a way that benefits such a beautiful person and a really heartfelt cause. You know, it like you said, it creates a community and it creates a feeling of being a part of something in a way that is different than marching through the street, which is also commendable, but, mm-hmm. You know, or
it's really humanizing. It's humanizing the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because we all express things differently, and to accept people's help however they want to give the help, it's saying, you know, we all matter in our own right.
Yeah.
You know, and so like we had monetary donations, we've had, you know, people donate masks, we had
the
cupcakes. Yeah. They've created flower arts, like so many different expressions of love, all for my sister.
Yeah.
And it really just solidifies that, you know, love is love, you know. And I kind of mentioned that yesterday at her remembrance celebration, that, you know, here we are together in the midst of chaos, but we're love, you know. Love trumps a lot of stuff. So when you give love, love exists. And to see all these strangers join me in loving my sister, it amplifies the cause. On Twitter, I've actually befriended a lot of people that are fighting for justice. A few of them pointed out a few different groups that could be helpful. And so back in, I think like May or June, I got a TikTok, and they actually only got on TikTok to do silly videos. So I was doing it wrong because I didn't understand like things trend and you're supposed to kind of do what everybody else is doing. And I'm doing all these random videos. At the time, I would put up a few videos on my sister. A few of them gained a lot of attention. But after hearing about Alyssa Turney, I was like, oh, okay, like I can really use this to really reach a lot of people. So I've kind of shifted my TikTok from just for my personal use to my sister, using it for her based off Alyssa Turney. And then basically we kind of share each other's stuff. And that's kind of, so we've kind of become our own little community of people, sub community, and, you know, just keep sharing. You know, sometimes somebody might share something, and then because they have a larger audience, or because somebody that they know is familiar with like an area that my story or the next person's story is, it helps to get that attention further. It's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And then also the sisters of Sean Monterosa and the brother of Stephen Clark. They're both Bay Area cases. Both were unfortunately lost at the hands of police, and they have been fighting for justice ever since. And they have been really helpful. They have a significant following. Both of them have significant followings, and they're doing a ton of really important, really great work. But they've also been really communicative. If I have like a specific question, or if we send them something and say, is there any way you could repost this for us? I understand it's not your brother's case, or it's not, you know, mm-hmm. part of what you have going on, but is there any way you could just do this? And they have been, you know, helpful in that, in that regard of just, it's few and far between, but it's just enough to guide.
Keep that momentum going.
Yeah, exactly. You know, to guide the,
right,
the river.
Because sometimes, you know, we're human and we lose steam, and just having somebody else just kind of take the torch, even for a second, it yeah. gives you that breath to like re-engage, you know. It's something that I never could have prepared for. And to think like a year ago, like I had no idea that a year later I would be here, having made so much progress, having befriended so many wonderful people, and to be in a better space, you know, like healing, actually acknowledging what actually took place. It just, to have people alongside of you is a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
Show love, not fight, you know.
So for the people who have allowed us to use their communities, even for a second, just, hey, here's this one post, or I've tagged you in something, or like yours, like yourselves as well.
Someone,
you know,
from the vigil showed up because they heard about
Georgia.
Because they
heard about it on you.
Right.
Yeah. And so even to borrow that space for a 24-hour period is so monumental. And it I don't think a lot of people realize how really beneficial to mm-hmm. our progress, and to Angel's progress specifically, being able to get the word out, that just that share, or mm-hmm. just that tag, or just that like really matters, because that's an audience of people we didn't have before.
Right.
And it's so great that there's so many people willing to do that for us.
We have found that the people who hear these stories really want to do anything they can to help. What are the primary things they can do to help you guys? Where can they share? What do you want them to share?
Okay, so our major social media platforms are Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. All of them are under the handle Justice for Georgia Lee Moses. And the petition is also under Justice for Georgia Lee Moses. And then we have a GoFundMe, which is also Justice for Georgia Lee Moses.
We try to stay consistent.
but if, at the very least, a share does so much, you know, a share goes around the world instantly. And so it takes our circle of audience from a small pea to a large watermelon, you know. And if you don't want to do that, pray. You know, I feel like change is coming, and just having somebody that cares genuinely means much more than anything else. You know, if you care in your heart and you hope for the best to come out, that means more than a dollar or a like or a share. So,
yep. Yeah. Also, if anybody that is listening knows something, you can stay completely anonymous. You can make up a fake email address. You can do whatever it is to stay anonymous. Or if you really want to just get it off your chest and anonymity is not something that matters to you, you can email us at whathappenedtogeorgialee@gmail.com. That has been, that email address has actually been extremely helpful. People have sent both photos and tips. They have sent stories. And we're not just using it as a tip line, but it is really helpful as a tip line. But that's, you know, if you come across, if one of her friends is listening and she they haven't found the Facebook or Instagram yet, and they happen to remember, oh, in this shoebox buried in the back of my mom's garage, I think there's a picture in there. We would love that.
When Angel began working on hashtags and social media, she also created a slogan for Georgia. Justice has no expiration date. In the years since Georgia's murder, justice hasn't materialized. But Angel and Maria and their ever-expanding group of supporters, they're not going anywhere. For the Justice for Georgia Lee Moses movement, this is only the beginning. And in this case, sharing and using Angel's hashtags could have a measurable impact on the resolution of Georgia's sexual assault and murder. If you do one thing after listening to this episode, follow all of Angel's official accounts on social media. We've linked them. Share Georgia's story. If you're in the Petaluma area, attend the socially distanced events Angel continues to hold. Contribute art if you can. If you knew Georgia, get in touch. Anything you know could be helpful. Follow all of their accounts to keep up with the projects Angel and Maria and their supporters are producing. They are working on several big pushes to get focus on Georgia's case. And most of all, if you have any information regarding the death of Georgia Leah Moses, you can contact the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office at 707-565-2185. If you'd prefer to contact Angel and Maria directly with any information or tips, you can reach them at their Gmail address. It's whathappenedtogeorgialee@gmail.com. That's whathappenedtogeorgialee@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to The Fall Line. As of 2021, The Fall Line is a fully independent show, and we appreciate listener support. It allows us to do research, obtain FOIAs, pay our content advisors, and support and donate to the causes that we care about. If you try the products that we advertise, please use our sponsor codes. It really helps. And if you'd like to support the show and the stories we cover, join us on Patreon. We're raising Patreon funds to pay the rent on the Milberg Twins billboard, begin a therapy fund for families who've been on the show, and many other projects. You can read a public post about those goals on our Patreon page. On Patreon, you get early release ad-free versions of our episodes, plus blog posts and videos for only $5 a month. The Fall Line is written, hosted, and researched by Laura Norton, with additional research by Brian Waters, Kim Fritz, and Jessica Ann. Family and law enforcement interviews by Brooke Hargrove. Produced and engineered by Maura Curry. Content advisement by Brandy C. Williams, Liv Fallon, and Vic Kennedy. As always, our most special thanks to Angie Dodd. Currently, our monthly donation is going to the Black and Missing Foundation.